the soldier stumbled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha. Passion Week this year falls between the martyrdom anniversaries of two saints who lived in our lifetime. Archbishop Oscar Romero of El Salvador, 38 years ago on March 24th, it was yesterday, the anniversary, and then the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., 50 years ago on April 4th, two weeks from now. Both these men followed their faith in Jesus Christ seriously. They took on the passion of Jesus Christ and the vocation to share the faith of God for the life of their times. Just as Jesus did 2,000 years ago, they took a journey into facing down death. We opened our worship service today with a reenactment of the first peace march into the heart of the capital, temple in Jerusalem. With throngs of people waving palms and shouting hosannas to Jesus, who was riding on a donkey. Perhaps not unlike what we saw yesterday in March for Life rally in DC and other cities around the globe, by hundreds of thousands of people led by children to advocate for meaningful gun control. Jesus' march into Jerusalem didn't last long. Palm waving and hosanna shouting jubilant celebration took a sudden turn into a more somber mood and set off a series of tragic events: betrayal, arrest, denial, desertion, sham trial, mockery, humiliation, torture, and finally the crucifixion within a short 5 days. What happened? How did such a promising movement meet such a premature ending? Apparently, the demands and claims of the leader of the peace march were bold, challenging, and uncompromising. Not unlike the demands of the children yesterday in Washington and other cities. Business as usual will not be tolerated. Money changers and profiteers were thrown out from the temple. And Jesus started a teaching at the temple, openly calling on the temple authorities to be accountable. He questioned the temple hierarchy's cozy relationship with the empire. He brought to light the hypocrisy of the religious leaders of his time, the champions of morality. These religious leaders condoned Herod's affair with his brother's wife, Herodias, after he dumped his first wife. They never confronted Herod for beheading John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, who did not mince words when he preached truth to power. Jesus called them out one by one: the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and of course the priests and the high priest. Often we so piously and righteously say that Jesus died for our sins. Why would anyone be executed so brutally for forgiving people's sins? Jesus wasn't murdered for saying, "Look at the birds of the air or the flowers of the field." He wasn't killed for saying that you love your neighbor or love your enemy, or for telling the woman who was caught in adultery that her sins were forgiven and not to sin anymore. But then why was he killed? Well, Jesus preached the kingdom values, which were antithetical to the values of the Roman Empire, which maintained its hold on power and remained dominant using unjust systems by means of institutionalized violence. To such monolithic powers of Augustus Caesar, who, by the way, considered himself divine, the claim of Jesus as the Son of God was itself an affront. Not only the values Jesus preached, but also his own being was a threat to the foundation of the empire. In our passion reading, we see two different systems, one based on power and violence, and the other based on love and non-violence, facing each other. The empire used death as the ultimate weapon to quell and quash any unrest. Jesus faced the barrel of the gun with an unwavering commitment to non-violence. Today's passion reading gives us an example of the radical alternative to counter a world sinking ever deeper into injustice and violence. Yes, Jesus was very, very political, and radically so. True religion is political. The word political comes from the Greek word polis, and it means city. Political means affairs of the city where God's people live. There is nothing outside the realm of God which moves from our private eye into our relational life in the public arena. To keep peace in our home and in church, we don't talk politics. However, keeping peace means never rocking the boat. In order to avoid disagreements, how can we be faithful to our convictions? Isn't it our faith that often prompts us to not stay silent in these situations? In Micah, Prophet Micah, chapter 6, verse 8, says, "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" If you don't act on the behalf of the vulnerable, speak out about injustice, are we being truth? Are we being true to our faith? If we, who claim to be the beloved of God, don't speak for meaningful gun control in our country, who will speak? Church let the children down, and so the children led the way yesterday all across America. Yes, there is a price to pay. That is the cross which Jesus talked about us to carry. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. paid the price for speaking out the rights of sanitation workers. He was gunned down. Archbishop Oscar Romero paid the price for preaching for the human rights of the poor people in El Salvador. And he was gunned down 38 years ago yesterday while celebrating Eucharist in his own church. Both these men were apostles of nonviolence. I must say, our mission work in El Salvador through Christosol is a perfect example of working for human rights of the vulnerable people in their country using nonviolent means. On the cross, Jesus discovered for us a way of opposing evil without becoming evil in the process, a full-blown alternative to the politics of redemptive violence. Our challenge today is to rescue our faith, rescue Christianity from the so-called moral majority, the self-described champions of morality, who conveniently fail to see the shenanigans of our politicians, who fail to see the moral bankruptcy of white supremacy movement, and who supports Israel in their occupation and subjugation of Palestinians. Let me quote our bishop. "We are journeying through a time of unease and uncertainty. Fear, hate, conflict, violence, marginalization, and blame are increasing and becoming acceptable. Families and communities are being divided, and walls are being erected among God's people. Origen of Alexandria wrote, "Where there is division, there is sin." Jesus Christ gathers while sin attempts to scatter and divide. Let us find our way back to the cross. As followers of Christ, like Simon of Cyrene, let us carry that cross and follow him to the bitter end, facing down death to over the empire and its unjust values.